is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekly news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. Well, you know, they always say all roads lead to China, or do they? Where exactly do all roads lead, I wonder, huh? I mean, let's talk today about some world politics in a big, big way. There's a lot to discuss here and a lot happening around the world that clearly is impacting us back here at home as well here. Big program ahead, my fellow Americans. We welcome you to the program. And listen, I want to start off here with a gentleman. I have the distinct privilege and honor, really, to have this gentleman on. And this is Ambassador William Middendorf II. He's a naval officer. He was in World War II, the United States Ambassador to the Netherlands, Undersecretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Navy, and United States Ambassador to the Organization of American States, and also Ambassador to the European Union. So Ambassador Middendorf has had really, as you would say, a front row seat in world history. Do you remember when Ronald Reagan was saying, tear down this wall? Well, he was there. And so he's had their front row seat to history. And, you know, history is what shapes us. And that's most important here. Ambassador Middendorf, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Glad to be aboard.
You know, we take a look at cultural affairs back here at home. Now, when you look at the woke, you've heard of the woke revolution, where they're woke. You've heard of the cancel culture that is toppling America's history. And I'm talking presidents, heroes, historical figures. Nothing seems to be off limits to folks. Did you ever think you would see this in your lifetime? I was wondering about that coming into the program. Have you ever thought you'd see this in your lifetime? And what do you make of it?
Well, my first job was in 1937. And of course, that was in the middle of the Roosevelt years. And he was trying to pack the Supreme Court and do some of the things that is going on now. He was not successful, but he was really very much in the mode of the present guy.
Right. Yeah, we're seeing that now, the same conversation, a peck on the Supreme Court and a lot of the things. But the fact that they want to destroy America's history, that's a bit of a warning sign, isn't it?
That's brand new. I've never seen that. Even Roosevelt was proud of our American history. You know, I served in a couple of wars, and I fought for a country that I was proud of, and can't understand for the life of me why there are those running around that degrade the country.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to ask you, there's a cause and effect on all things political that are coming out of D.C. And, you know, this has a major impact around the globe. And I'm talking about both Democrats and Republicans as they continue to fight with each other. You know, Ambassador, America's adversaries, well, let me just say they appear to be woke as well at the moment. They are certainly paying attention to what's happening here at home. This is normally the kind of question you would end an interview with, but I actually want to start it with you. In your honest opinion, is America's best days in front of her, or are they behind her?
We've had some wonderful days behind us. You and I have to pray that our best days are going to continue ahead, and we'll have to reverse this present trend, which is we saw reversed after 1939 when the war started.
Let's talk about that now, and how we'll get in more about how we reverse those trends in a moment, and tap into your wisdom a bit here. And I want to tell folks as well that Ambassador Middendorf has published a book. This is quite something now. It is pretty new out there, just a couple of months old. It's called The Great Nightfall: How We Win the New Cold War. And it's a bit of a clarion call to policymakers, if you will. And he names names and he goes there. This book is available at any bookstore, and it's an important one. I'm in the process of reading it myself. It is available in our bookstore at America Out Loud. In fact, you'll find it right on the front page, my fellow Americans, at AmericaOutLoud.com. You know, you say in your copy, somewhere I read quite a bit about you historically, and you say here recently that what you're doing right now in this book and the message you're out there with, that this feels like the most important mission in your life is to warn America about the greatest threats to its survival. Now, this got my attention because you've done a lot of, you've had a spectacular life. You've done a lot of fascinating things. And for you to make that statement, if that's accurate, if you did indeed say that, that this is the most important mission in your life is to warn America about the greatest threats to its survival. Is this the most important mission? And let's get into the biggest threats. I want to give the floor to you to bring us forward and tell us what those biggest threats are.
Well, the biggest threat, of course, is China right now. In the first Cold War in the 1970s, we built our weapon systems, which are long lead time weapon systems. It takes 10 years to build a long lead time weapon system, whatever it is. We built them based on what we thought would be the threat at the apogee of the threat in the late 1980s. We were successful. We built the Trident submarine and the Aegis missile system and the F-18 and some of the other major systems which won the Cold War. Because peace through strength is the only way to win a war. You can never win a war by going to war. There are too many losses on both sides. The second Cold War is, of course, what we're engaged in now. China has said openly recently that we are the enemy. China has combined with Russia and Vietnam and North Vietnam and, of course, Iran. But not only that, but they've engaged in something called the Belt and Road Initiative, which is involved 60 countries around the world from Africa, deep into Europe, to encircle us by buying friendships, so to speak, paying for ports, paying for infrastructure projects long needed. We call them debt traps. Because like Djibouti and other areas in Africa that have taken their money, Ecuador and South America, they've not been able to pay back, and China enforces it by taking control of the port after having leased it for 99 years. This is going on. They own both sides of the Panama Canal now. They're very active on the Horn of Africa, and also they had at the Suez Canal, and also checkpoints like that, and also Piranha in Greece. They were very active in the Baltics. They've co-opted Eastern Europe with some heavy Belt and Road projects, and even gotten into Amsterdam and Antwerp. So some of our European allies are now weighing whether we, the United States, are their best ally, or in the future, should they realign themselves with Russia and China?
Now, who's thinking that way?
Germany is thinking that way to a degree, some of their legislatures have talked that way.
Yeah,
as of some of the French.
I was going to ask you about the French, because we'll talk about them later. So you're saying a lot of these allies are even questioning or where their loyalty is, huh?
The allies, a famous English lord said that there are no permanent alliances. There are only permanent interests.
Yeah.
And no permanent enemies, no permanent allies. Only permanent interests, and that's true of Europe, and not only that, but also Asia.
Yeah.
Right at the moment, our best ally in Asia is Japan, followed by South Korea. In would Lord Palmerston's prophecy come true that there are no permanent alliances, only permanent interests. If we lost, say, Taiwan, if Taiwan went into the orbit of China and we did nothing in a reasonably near-term future.
You know, you reference in the book, you talk about with friends like these, that old saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies, as a reference to many of these so-called allies. So you're referencing right now who America can rely on, and when you mentioned Japan, of course, and South Korea, of course, in the Asian market. But what about Europe? Take a look, and you've already mentioned and talked about Germany and France are kind of hard to rely on them. What about the rest of Europe?
Well, I think in a great showdown, China is already going to very shortly have a larger gross national product than we have, certainly a larger military than we have in the next 10 years. In fact, their Navy is substantially larger than ours right now. They built 100 ships in the last 10 years. We built a very few, relatively few. They're building some very modern ships, not only in the conventional warfare ships, right, like aircraft carriers and destroyers and submarines, but they're also building a substantial number of very advanced missiles, like the hypersonic glide missile, which gets 16,000 miles an hour, which we have no defense. They can reach every city in America with nuclear warheads in 18 to 20 minutes. And in addition to that, they're developing a tremendous number of undersea non-conventional warfare. They have a 2,000 ship fishing fleet that they are armed to the teeth with any missile defenses. And in addition to that, they're very capable in the EMP threat, which is non-conventional warfare. Mm-hmm. That could easily destroy our communications and electronics in a very short time. The Pentagon says that in 8 months after a major EMP attack to which we're extremely vulnerable, we would have a loss of up to 80% of the population of America. In addition to that, they're well advanced, as is Russia, in the anti-satellite capabilities, so you could knock out our GSP, upon which most of our attack capabilities depend for targeting the enemy.
Now, let me ask you, Ambassador Middendorf, you just say some pretty strong points there that you lay out as far as their capabilities go. What was running through my mind is, what would it take for them to use such a thing? You know, do you see, as China sees the world and they see themselves as a dominant player and potentially the dominant player, do you think China sees the world without the United States? Because what you just put out there right now, it sounds like they could level us right off. But of course, we would retaliate. Is that the only reason that they haven't moved on many of the things you just described, is because of that retaliation? And do I assume if they couldn't, we would be in a heap of trouble?
Well, obviously, at any given point, they could make Washington, New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago into ice skating rinks. And we could do the same with Beijing and four or five other major Chinese cities. But nobody wins by that, and China knows that. They don't want to win that way. They want to win by probably sending an email. I suspect what they have in mind would be a germ warfare attack similar to this pandemic that we're just going through, only magnified by 10 times lethality, on which they'd already developed their own successful vaccination for themselves. In addition to that, I think that they are recognizing that we're hollowing ourselves out from within with all these ridiculous programs, well-meaning perhaps by some, but I think very unfortunately economics programs to expand our debt load and wipe us out economically for the future, so that we disintegrate from within, plus all these foolish woke programs that do nothing but undermine us and tear us apart. Everybody running around saying And they are the first to agree with the Biden administration that America is racist. And how the hell do we fight that when we have our main enemy and our own administration shouting to the world that we're terrible people?
Well, we are fighting ourselves here. As you know full well, the biggest enemy to America is America itself. And boy, we're losing that war right now, brother. We're losing that war. We're on the front of that war right now. We're losing that at this very moment. You know, you talk about our priorities, and you know, you'll laugh, Ambassador Minadoff, but here's what just happened. Just before coming on the program to you, I see the news bulletin in the wire here with me that says, our United States Army accused of going woke with new hairstyle rule. So their big priority right now, as we talk, you and I, is they're worried about some sort of a woke new hairstyle rule for the Army. But that kind of plays right into what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, I think it's much deeper than that. I heard that the military is now going to have a purge of anybody that has, which they consider to be the wrong kind of philosophy. I suspect it sounds almost like they're going to purge anyone that's a Republican in the military. I can't understand how they're going to, who's going to decide who these bad people are. They say that's it's their primary mission right now, instead of facing up to China.
Well, if that ever happened, then I can tell you straight out, then you would have a military of wussies, because it would be full of woke and these kinds of cancel culture type of people. Anyways, I could say a lot more, but I'll leave it there. I want to dive a little more into China with you. You said some fascinating things there. A lot of people are not aware of the military might of China. What I've gotten so far out of what you've said and what I've suspected for quite some time, China is being very strategic in nature. As you just mentioned, the Panama Canal, you mentioned Cape Horn. You're talking about all the alliances with Iran. All of these areas are very strategic in nature. I mean, when we let the Panama Canal go back then, it was a sad mistake, just as much as the UK letting Hong Kong go for that 99-year lease kind of thing. So China's being very, very strategic. In the book, you say China, and I want people to hear this, and I'm going to talk about this some more, because you mentioned a couple of these things, but this is pretty big. So think about China now as this big enemy, certainly major adversary. We've just stated to you what their plans are. And this is what you say in the book, Ambassador. You say China has a bigger navy than the U.S., with legions of hypersonic and cruise missiles, as well as sophisticated capabilities in artificial intelligence. There's your AI. I just want to bring that out a minute. There's a lot of AI that nobody's talking about, Ambassador. Now, I'm really very much aware one day we're going to wake up and AI is going to be a lot more here than what we think they are. And I fear that. I really, really do fear that. And I believe it's happening very silently in back rooms. And it will be here in a big way. Am I overstating that, or is that accurate?
No, AI is the future warfare, and non-conventional warfare is all-inclusive, including AI and unmanned vehicles and laser weapons systems and anti-satellite capabilities and germ warfare. Those are all facing us front and center, and that's the new warfare of the future. And that's what's going to, as I said, China won't have to fight us with the... If we could continue to hollow out our military and hollow out our country, our economic well-being, there's no question that in time, China, with its overwhelming power and capabilities, will be able to just simply send us an email saying, these are the surrender terms. And there isn't a mayor or governor in America that's going to be willing to subject himself, his city to becoming an ice ring. Mention one thing. Who's paying for all this? Who's paying for the fantastic growth of the Chinese military and the Chinese Navy?
That's right.
And the Chinese growth of the last 10 years? The United States is. The most precious thing in the world are US card dollars, and we're paying for it. We've paid something close to $10 to $12 trillion to China through three different techniques. One is the balance of payments. We've been running $400-500 billion deficits, trade deficits for China every year. That's hard dollars that they desperately need to pay for their weapons system to kill us with. The second thing is they've been using intellectual property right theft to steal a great number of our advanced weapon systems, which they can short circuit and build a fraction of what we built. It costs us over $1 trillion to build the F-35, and it has short legs. We can't use it off the carrier if the carrier has to stand off 1,100 miles off China because of their SR-21 missile that could keep the carrier at bay and destroy the carrier deck, and because the range of the F-35 is only 750 miles, and the F-18 is even shorter. The third thing is that we have been financing through stock exchanges $2.5 to $3 trillion. We have 86 companies of China listed on the New York Stock Exchange, 62 companies listed on the NASDAQ, and 450 listed on smaller exchanges, many of which have been raising huge amounts of U.S. dollars from our pension funds, such as the California State Teachers Pension Fund, University of Michigan Pension Fund, and even our main civil servants fund in Washington. Morgan Stanley Global Fund, which heavily invests in China. We have $35 trillion of financial capital in the world, over half of all the financial capital in the world. And China has been using that for a punch bowl. And do you know, to this day, I don't think there's even been one hearing in Washington on the subject of, or certainly nothing from the SEC to look into all these funds, Americans' pensions being invested in this hostile nation. And can you imagine how good those investments would be if suddenly we became on a war footing with China?
Yeah.
I would like to focus primarily on how to solve the problem, and that is for us to build weapon systems today as we did in the 70s against the first Cold War, to build the long lead time weapon systems we desperately need so we don't have to face that problem again. And by that, I mean building the Virginia-class submarines and the highly effective and great stealth capability Columbia submarine, build out that whole fleet. We've already laid the keel for two of them, and in 10 years, we'll take delivery of the first one. And so we need the long lead time to build these ships, but these will go a long way to keep us free from an overwhelming capability.
You lay out in the book again, it's very, very good. You lay out a strategy of suggestions, don't you, of what to do, what ships to build, what sort of equipment we need. Is that correct?
Well, that's what I had experience with in the 1970s. So I use that experience to suggest we do that today.
You mentioned earlier the EMP, the electromagnetic pulse attack. Don't we need a better question is, do we have, in your opinion, an effective cyber strategy, a national cyber strategy? Do we have one here that's effective?
Well, I chaired a war game at the Naval War College two years ago, and the results of the war game were extremely disappointing. We've also had two war games involving a Chinese attack on Taiwan and how would we react, and the results were disappointing. So at the moment, I would say the outlook is not favorable, but we have because of the long lead time required to build these weapon systems, and because It's obvious that the Chinese are patient. They want to see us disintegrate from within. And at the moment, it looks like there are elements within our administration that are looking for more for personal power, power for a Democrat Party than they are for building the Americans' total strength. We could be in a very serious position within 10 years.
Yeah, and we appear to be headed that way. How confident are you that the warnings and the directions that you put in your message in the book, how confident are you that they will be heard and that some of these things you talk about, some of these action steps are taken? Do you have any confidence in that?
Well, I'm disappointed in the most recent defense budget. It's only nominally a very, very small increase over last year, when we should be increasing it by 20% or more almost annually for the next several years in order to meet the threat and to show China that we mean business.
Yeah, right. But again, it's got to come back to who we vote into office and what happens with that. We take a look now as we step back, and you reference this as a new Cold War. And I've been thinking about that. And we remember Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev and Margaret Thatcher back at that moment when they reshaped the entire world. And you were there at that moment. So that was the first Cold War. And you say it ended because the United States was the strongest military force in the world, backed by unified NATO and strong allies in the Pacific. We don't really have a unified NATO anymore, do we?
Well, regrettably, NATO is spending less than 2% of their GDP on their military right now. They're looking for the United States to be the policeman of the world. And as we have been for the last 75 years.
But Trump did push them to put more money in. A lot of those nations, right, they did start to spend more because Trump insisted that, correct?
That's right. But the leadership in Europe is really from Germany to France, and the leadership is not encouraging. I see. I speak from deeply in my heart that I see the beginnings of that happening here, with an administration running around saying we're very bad people. His UN ambassador is going around the world talking about how terrible we are, racist we are, and what have you, and destroying America and our faith in ourselves. And I just think I've seen this scenario before.
Yeah, well, history has a tendency to repeat itself, sadly, and if we're not aware of it, it most surely will, especially if we're knocking history down. Ambassador Middendorf, it is an honor to talk to you. Thank you for being with us here on America Out Loud.
Thank you for having me. I'm 96 years old, so I hope to be as sharp as when I reach 100 and be able to carry on another conversation with you.
We'll do it before then. I promise you this. You are remarkable for sure. Now, let me tell folks that book again, please. Let's all take a look and read that book. I'm really looking forward to hear myself. It's called The Great Nightfall, How We Win the New Cold War. And this is Ambassador J. William Middendorf II. Terrific gentleman and a great conversation here. My fellow Americans, much more to talk about here on Viewpoint. We'll take a quick pause and we'll see you just on the other side.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday. You know, what a privilege it is to be able to talk to a man of history like that. For me, it's, I can't describe it to you or put into words properly. It is such a privilege for me and an honor to be able to have somebody like this. It's so important. We have to look historically at our leaders like this and folks who've been there. And this is the best barometer to predict the future, is to look at people like Middendorf and really understand where America is at. He puts it out there in a big way, and he's a very honorable man at that. And the other thing is, you heard him at the end tell you, and I didn't tell you up front because I didn't want to make that the point of context for the interview, 96 years old. Can you believe if you and I sound that good at 96 years old? I mean, come on, people. That is remarkable at that. Now, I need to tell you another program and note here. So I had the privilege of sitting down again. I've talked to this gentleman many times, Pastor Stephen Brodin. Such an honor to have him part of America Out Loud. He's part of Team Nation on the Voice of Nation that you hear my daily program at 5 p.m. Eastern time, weekdays now on America Out Loud Talk Radio. So Pastor Brodin and I sat down here today and talked a good time for the, that's a 2-hour program, as you know. We talked for a good part of that program. And that program is called Brush Fires of Freedom. The greatest nation in history, Brush Fires of Freedom. What an incredible talk. And that program will play Monday on the Voice of the Nation at 5 p.m. And I want to really encourage you to listen to this program. And he is on fire, I'll tell you, Pastor Brodin is. It's an incredible program. I felt it in my soul as we were doing it. And I hope you do as well when you hear it. I want to place an excerpt from that program right now for you so you can hear the pastor now, Pastor Stephen Brodin, and hear what he has to say. And then we'll pick you up on the other side and we'll get on to this other big topic I talked to you about France and IQ. Al Rizzulli will join me as well. Listen in right now to this excerpt of the program coming on Monday with Pastor Stephen Brodin. So then you have to ask yourself, what do they really want? I mean, we're not united on the front to go after China. China is coming after us big time right now. The problem is the evil right now, Pastor Bowden, the evil that we're dealing with right at this moment is far greater than the Republican Party and the Democrat Party and the Lincoln Project. But these kind of cats who are helping it out, so are they part of the inside club? Are they part of the takedown of America? Is that what you're kind of questioning as well?
I honestly believe that's what it is. I think we're facing the takedown of America. And there is a spiritual implication here that's far greater than the physical.
Yeah, amen.
It takes a kind of spiritual sensitivity and an awareness of what's happening in our nation, because it's inexplicable any other way. How could it be that a nation so successful, a nation that is so inviting and innovative and creative, find itself on a slippery slope away from everything that made it successful, moving away with such rapidity and speed that is breathtaking. It's causing many Americans to stand in awe of the fact that socialism and communism is playing a significant role in who we are right now. How did that happen? It's a spiritual thing. And because we are not seeing the spiritual side of this, we're still vulnerable and susceptible to the manipulation and an indoctrination that we talked about last time that we were together, when we talked about what are the two things that I see that's happening in our culture that's contributing to what we're seeing as the demise. And that is manipulation from a philosophical point of view and indoctrination of our children away from the founding principles that made this nation great. I think there's a spiritual implication here, Malcolm, that needs to be assessed by men who study the Word of God, who know what is happening on God's prophetic timeline, because they can give an explanation that is right now appearing to be inexplicable. That is what's happening in our culture, inexplicable at this time. I think we're witnessing a spiritual conflict of such magnitude that it is shocking to the sensibilities of most people who are observing it.
I'm curious to ask you, how does the Republican Party move forward without Donald Trump? I mean, where does it go? What does it look like? How does that happen? Is that even possible, I ask you?
I don't think it's possible, quite frankly, that he has rallied a sentiment in our nation where there is a deep, deep concern that we are losing our republic. And many who were non-participative in the past, I've gotten involved in politics because they see what you have been talking about here on your show and on your network for a long time, that there is a demise in our way of life, and our values are changing, and our economy is changing, and there's a philosophy that's driving that that is antithetical to the founding principles that made this nation great. Those people are, quote unquote, awoke. They see very clearly what's happening and what has been happening for a very long time in this slow, gradual move away from our founding principles. They're up, they have energized, and they're behind what Donald Trump stands for. And in that mind, in their minds, that is making America great again. So the Republican Party is inextricably linked to the idea of making America great again by the grassroots in our nation. However, the elite and the Rhino group in the Republican Party are the elite. They are the big dollar corporate country club guys who are beneficiaries of whatever or whoever is in power. They win one way or the other. It doesn't matter for them. And so I see that they're lining up and lining their guns and their influence up with the other side against Donald Trump and the grassrooters. They're not, that's what I'm saying. Why did they come up with this video, with this commercial at this time? They won. Donald Trump is not in.
Right.
And he hasn't made a commitment to run in 2024. And why are they out here campaigning now against him? I think there's something larger going on here. And as a nation, not as a people, not the church, but as a nation, we have turned our backs on God. Barack Obama said it when he was running, when he was a president. He said, America is no longer a Christian nation. When I heard that, Malcolm, I recoiled with anger. But after assessing what he had said, I said, the man is right. For a Christian nation would not kill its babies at over 61 million since we've legitimized it. A Christian nation would not codify same-sex marriage. A Christian nation would not remain silent as they legitimize and legalize sodomy. They wouldn't do that. But that's exactly what this nation did. The Christian influence, for all intent and purposes in America, is gone. And that's going to sound hard to your listeners' ears, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's gone. And they're shooting at us, regulating us, but we're not even meeting on Sundays right now. and we're not taking communion and we're not praying together and we're not advancing the gospel because the culture has turned its guns on us.
So if you like what you just heard, then you will love the full program, and you'll want to hear that on Monday on The Voice of the Nation on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Catch that right there on my daily show at 5 p.m. Eastern time, my fellow Americans, and enjoy. He is, an American treasure is what he is, somebody like this here. So let's move on, and I want to talk to you next about this other. I was telling you up front of the program about France. This is quite a story coming up next here. Is France on the brink of civil war is the question I put out to you. And we have a very interesting op-ed I will tell you about on America Out Loud. But let me bring on now certainly a friend of this network and this show and a very dear friend here. IQ Al Razzulli joins me on the program here. You know IQ. You've heard him before. His voice, I'm sure, is an Iraqi exile, born in Baghdad, actually, Arabic speaker, scholar, author, and an analyst who really follows world politics very, very closely. And IQ has that very interesting op-ed, Is France on the Brink of Civil War? After the program is done, go read that. So IQ, very interesting, some of the things happening in France, and there are some very similarities of things that are happening here in the U.S. as well. But you say here, for the first time in 60 years, the French Republic is under the threat of a military takeover or a civil war, one or the other. And specifically, there's an open letter signed by 20 retired generals, 100 senior officers, and more than 1,000 other members of the French military. This was quite something. It was published in a French magazine there. And this just happened now. This is brand new information, just in the last couple of weeks here, and addressed to the French political establishment, warning them of an impending civil war if the French ruling class will not address the grievances of a majority of the French people regarding Muslims supporting Islamic terror and creating Muslim Sharia compliant no-go zones within the Republic. Now, there have been a series of recent terror attacks out there in France, and, you know, we're not hearing a lot about this, quite frankly. You have to dig pretty deep to know any of this in America here. We're so infatuated with what's going on here in Washington. Tell us what's happening with the terror attacks in France and that letter, please.
Well, the letter is remarkable because it shows an incredible degree of concern by the military, not by the establishment, because the military is now accusing the establishment of letting the French people down. Now, what happened in the last few weeks, actually, 9 major terrorist attacks. I'm going to only mention 2 of them because it's enough. In each case, the perpetrators were shouting Allahu Akbar. Now, we have a whole program I gave you, I sent it to you. The title was Allahu Akbar, the terrorist verse. When a Muslim shouts Allahu Akbar, he is takbir. Takbir means to glorify Allah in preparation to slaughter non-Muslims and willing to die for that cause. So when he shouts Allahu Akbar, he is preparing himself or herself for death while slaughtering non-Muslims. And in the last few weeks, first of all, a teacher was accused by a 13-year-old girl, Muslim girl, that she was lying, by the way, that was the whole point of the exercise, that he was telling the students who were Muslims to leave the class so that he can show the picture of Muhammad, a cartoon of Muhammad, naked to the non-Muslims. Cut a long story short, a Chechen, a Muslim from Chechnya, an immigrant in France, cut his head off, literally cut his head off. It was a shocking occasion in France. I don't honestly remember ever seeing it in American news media.
Yeah, I don't recall it.
I mean, this is such a remarkable thing. but it wasn't in the media. The other one, only a week ago or two, a week or 10 days ago, another Muslim attacked a police, a woman who works with the police officers, and he slit her throat. I mean, these things are happening on literally a weekly basis. I'm talking about France. I'm talking about Germany. I'm talking about Africa. I'm talking about all over the world. They are slaughtering us, and the news media don't say anything. So these people, these officers, are absolutely correct in believing that France is disintegrating. When you have, the way they are looking at it is this, when you are a French person and you cannot go in your own France to areas in cities, in the major cities, because they are Sharia controlled no-go zone areas. That means French people cannot be or are not able to visit French territory in their own country. So they've had enough. So they wrote the letter, which is a very fair letter. They're not inciting revolution. All they are doing is they were presenting their point of view. It's made up of 586 words, so it's not a huge letter. But what happened, Marine Le Pen, who is what they call her extreme right wing, as if there is no left wing. She is not extreme right wing. She is a patriotic French woman. She does not want Islam to take over the country. That's simple. It's not complicated. So her party now, because of this letter, especially because of this letter, has had a lot of more support than before. What the elite government is trying to do is trying to punish the officers for telling the truth or for voicing their concerns.
How are they trying to punish them? What are they trying to do?
By taking away from them their pension, those who are retired, or to demote them or fire them from the military if they are already in the military, which is going to backfire. Mm-hmm. And I hope it will backfire in a big way. Because if and when the French people rise up, and I mean rise up, in the sense we had enough, we cannot allow a single Muslim to come anymore to France. And any Muslim who is not willing to integrate or assimilate should leave the country. And it's going to happen.
Yeah. As I recall, IQ, back several years ago, you really, not to be smart here, but you predicted a lot of this.
Good God. I'm sorry to say it, but I predicted a lot of things that came out all true. Whatever is happening in America today, I had it in on your show.
Yeah, I know you have.
Every article I wrote in your show in the last year or two is exactly what I said. Exactly what I said. Not to brag.
Brag. Well, that's why I'm saying it. But listen, as I recall the conversations you and I had several years ago, even about the open borders throughout Europe. Now, we talked about this many times at length, you and I did on national radio. We talked about the open borders. We talked about the problems in Europe. We talked about the conflict and a lot of these things that were taking over a lot of those countries, and they were losing their heritage. And you described it. Now, at the same time, you have this politically correct environment absolutely everywhere gone crazy here, you know, and they use that as a means to call you out and call your names and so on and so forth. Specifically in France, the French intelligence services, from what I understand in this story, IQ, they're having trouble even identifying. There's so many now. I guess the numbers, and you tell me if this is accurate, but I think it's at least about 10%. It might even be more than that of the population. They don't even really know because that's about, what is it, about 6 million Muslims, they say, in France? Is that
a minimum?
That's what I'm saying, a minimum. Yeah.
But it could be much more than that.
Right. So they're not able to monitor them, though. They're having trouble knowing who's who, right? Is that the problem?
Of course, because the people who committed these crimes recently were below the radar. Okay? You see, what is difficult to understand from the point of view of Western mind, is how evil Sharia is. They cannot fathom how evil it is. Right. I have said it a million times. I'll repeat it again. For a Muslim who is Sharia compliant, and by the way, you cannot be a Muslim unless you are Sharia compliant. That is definite.
Well, that defines it right there. That defines it.
Well, it's like somebody who says, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Jesus.
Right, right. That's the definition of it.
That's simple. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Now, since they are Sharia compliant, mm-hmm. every single Muslim is the eternal and mortal enemy of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim. That's it. That's it. That is Islam. This is not incitement. This is not racism. By the way, Islam is not a race. So when you speak about Islam, they call you a racist. The one who's calling you a racist is a stupid animal. Because Islam is not a race. It's made up of every nationality, every race, every color, every society. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's not. It's a belief system. But this belief system is the most evil belief system that has ever been insinuated in the human mind.
When you describe the terror of Islam there, and we all remember the images from years back when I think many Americans were aghast at all of the innocent people lined up by the waterside in orange suits, and they cut all of their heads off at once to get the world's attention. Well, that was a flashing neon sign at the moment. We had never seen anything like that in Western civilization, to see how corrupt and crude and barbaric they are. Barbaric would be the word. Inhumane and evil forces. I mean, clearly, there are many forms of terror here. But when you talk about being under the radar, I want to suggest to you, this is part of the problem we're having here in the United States. And you talk about in your article some of the similarities of what's happening in America now to what's happened there. But that's some of the same problems we're having now with open borders. We don't know who's. In fact, I put in a post on social media just yesterday that and there are reports about terrorists coming over that border and the southern border. It's in the news. We know it's happening. We've reported on it. And, you know, the social media sent it back to me and they pulled the post off and said I was bullying and being harassing people by putting that on there. That was actually said to me in the notice they sent to me, IQ, that I can't put that out there, which is really just a news report. But isn't this the same problem we're having here on the southern border?
But you are having a disaster at the southern border. Look, today, America, I'm blunt as usual, you have no democracy, you have no justice, and you're not a free society. It's that simple. So when any American is bragging that you have none of these attributes anymore. If a news media, the social media, can censor you, and if they can censor the President of the United States of America, whether he was in or out of office, it's the end.
And they're doing it. They're absolutely doing it. Yeah. Well, it's a real problem what's happening here. We're trying to address it. I mean, we're fighting it every day here. Bringing it back to France here, that letter, by the way, I understand has major public support within France itself, a lot of support. But it warns against cultural Marxism, multiculturalism, the insanity of political correctness, which I just addressed with you, and then a compromised justice system. And you know what? Everything I just said to you, my friends, that's exactly what IQ was talking about in that article he has, is what's happening here back at home. The same problems we're having here. Now, there's an election upcoming here in 2022 for Macron, for Emmanuel Macron, the French president here. There'll be a new presidential election April 22, I believe. Yeah. And now, so there, as I understand, and I think you address this in your piece, the leader of the Conservative National Rally has got some momentum. Is that correct?
100% correct. Yes. She is definitely, she will have a very good chance of winning. A very good chance.
Well, especially as you put it out here with this, and for sure. Now, this is what you call, I believe, or what is a domino effect is the problem. And that domino effect, when you have no borders and you allow everybody to come in, and this is what happens, is exactly what we're experiencing here. You talk about that in the article here. But People are going to have to push back on this big government explosion and push back on these policies that are reckless and crude and tearing our nation apart. This sign of France, this letter is actually good news, probably for French people, but I think you would agree with that. And any final thoughts on France? What happens, you think, with this?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's not only for France. As I said, the domino effect, if there is a rebellion by the French people, there will be a rebellion in every single European country.
We've seen it before that way, right?
Yeah.
And it will happen again as well here, that domino effect. And again, we're experiencing it right back here at home as well. So this is a huge wake-up call. This article is, I got to tell you, it's really well done. IQ this is really a must-read. Is France on the brink of civil war? And he gets into it. I mean, it plays out a lot of what we've discussed, but more. There are far more details in the article. You need to share that out there and let people know the similarities, please, of what's happening in France, what's happening in Europe, to what's happening here in the United States. Western civilization is in dire straits right now, and its survival is dependent upon what we do next. And I have to tell you right now, IQ and I have been talking about this for some years. He has been he's also put out the clarion call. You know, we talked about Ambassador Middendorf in the top part of the program. IQ has also put out the call about this many times over. All right, so here's the action items from today's program, friends. So we all need to go get that book now. I want you to buy the book there that Ambassador Middendorf has published now. It's called The Great Nightfall, How We Win the New Cold War. And I just like what I see here because it's very strategic in nature. I mean, why else would a 96-year-old man, again, put his clarion call out to our great country? This is it right here. It's a bit of a blueprint as well. And as he said to me on the program, he's not here to gripe and complain. He's here to fix the problem. And that's what I like. He's a really great man here, this is. That book, you can find the links right at AmericaOutloud.com. We have it on the home page there or right in the bookstore. Just on the right sidebar on the home page on AmericaOutloud.com. That's what I call the bells and whistles. Just go down there and you'll see the book right there in play, my friends. So let's get the book there. Be sure to read IQ El-Razouli's article there for sure. This is about the civil war potential in France. Are they on the brink of a civil war? And also, you want to join me on Monday on The Voice of a Nation, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, to hear this amazing, brilliant program from Pastor Stephen Broden. And he brings the goods. He's one of the best voices on these topics in our country. So be sure to listen in there as well to the program. Also, other than that, friends, it's all back. The big action item is at AmericaOutloud.com. Share the good word out there. Get the Out Loud truth out. That's what it's going to take here to change some of this, these policies and to change the trajectory of Western civilization and our great nation here back at home. It's time to get involved and get loud.